Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Well, open up your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 13. As Pastor Kirsten mentioned, I oversee all of our Kings worldwide, and we are in over 450 locations internationally in 22 nations. And if you want more information, we update prayer requests, praise reports, all on our website, kcworldwide.org. Amen. You got it all memorized now. You're going to look it up while I'm preaching. If you get bored, look it up. Amen. You got it with me? Acts chapter 13. We're going to start to read in verse 49. The word of the Lord spread throughout the whole region, but the Jewish leaders incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from the region. So they shook the dust off their feet as a warning to them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. At Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual to the Jewish synagogue, where they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Greeks believed. But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the other Gentiles and poisoned their mind against the brothers. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to perform signs and wonders. The people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, others with the apostles. And there was a plot afoot amongst both the Gentiles and the Jews, together with their leaders, to mistreat them and stone them. But they found out about it and fled to the Lycaonian cities of Lystra and Derbe and to the surrounding country, where they continued to preach the gospel. In Lystra there sat a man who was lame. He had been that way from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking, and Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you right now, and we ask that you would come and fill this place with your presence. Come on, everyone, you just begin to pray. The Lord's got to speak to you today. Lord, come. Lord, we need your fresh power, your fresh anointing. Lord, your word for each person today. Give us a word in season. Open up our hearts to receive, our minds to understand, our ears to hear, and our lives to be transformed by your word today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You may be seated. How many of you have been cursed out because somebody, because you told somebody about Jesus? They cursed you down. How many of you have been thrown out of your house because you told your family about Jesus? You know, us here in the United States of America, we're wusses. There are people throughout the world that are killed for their faith. They get lit on fire because they believe in Jesus. And yet we get offended. Oh, somebody didn't say hi to me. I'm leaving that church. Oh, come on. You got to talk to me this morning. We get so offended and so hurt. We allow everything to stop us. When I look at this passage of scripture, I was doing a series on the book of Acts. And when I saw this scripture, I was confronted by the life of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was pretty crazy. I mean, he was a little bit crazy, a little bit like your pastor. Crazy. Come on, smile at me. How many of you know your pastor's crazy? Hey, man, I love it. That's why Alaska's here. That's why we're in this building, because your pastor's crazy for Jesus. I love it. The Apostle Paul was a little crazy. He would go from town to town declaring Jesus. In fact, and we see up to this time, we see that he was expelled from Antioch. In Iconium, there was a violent attempt by the Gentiles and the Jews both to stone him. In Lystra, as we see the Apostle Paul talks in 2 Corinthians 11 and 2 Corinthians 12, that in Lystra was probably the time that he got stoned to death. The believers gathered around him and God raised him up. In every situation, whether it was in prison, no matter how many times he was beaten, no matter how many times he was locked in prison, he would get out And he'd go to the next town and preach the gospel. Next town, preach the gospel. It didn't matter what came against him. He was unstoppable. And I read this passage. It's a very strange passage of scripture. But in it, we see four different ways that the Apostle Paul was unstoppable. So I hope you're taking notes today, because I'm going to give you those four ways. Because my desire is that we as kings become unstoppable. I've been into a lot of churches that are not kings. And I stand in awe where lots of things have stopped them. Money stopped them. Impossible things have stopped them. Power outages have stopped them. But not kings. Not kings. Whatever it takes, we will do what God has called us to do. Can I get an amen? But together, we've got to become unstoppable. Because in a little bit over a year and a half, we're believing God for the 12-1-20 vision to be accomplished. 1,200 churches with 120,000 people. Okay, can I just tell you, by the way, if you didn't know, that's impossible. From a tiny church on the island of Maui to have 1,200 churches, people think we're crazy. Well, we are. We're crazy because it's not about our ability. It's about God's ability. But God is looking throughout the whole world, looking for somebody to use, even in Alaska. God is calling you to become unstoppable. The devil knows our weaknesses. In fact, the devil's been around a long time, thrown out of heaven. He knows the weaknesses of Adam and Eve. He got right in the place that, oh, Eve, oh, let me get our questioning God. He knows your weaknesses. He knows where you've sinned in the past and where he's got a hook in you that he can drive you crazy. It may be anger. It may be relationships. It may be pornography. It may be abandonment and hurts, rejection. I can tell you, if you have a hook of rejection, he will bring every single person that has ever rejected anybody else and bring them to your doorpost to reject you so that you confirm, oh, it must be true. I'm horrible. I'm nothing. Everybody hates me. The devil does that because he knows our weaknesses. But God is stronger. And God wants you to go beyond the weaknesses of your physical, emotional, mental capacity, and he wants you to become unstoppable. So how do we become unstoppable? Oh, I'm so glad you asked this morning. Smile at me. You guys are so quiet. I'm not scary, I promise. I got red hair. It's like a light on fire. But I have a sister. I have lots of people here that have red hair. I've been seeing them. I'm like, yeah. We got some fire starters in the house. How do we become unstoppable? Well, being unstoppable is defined as impossible to stop. Wow. Brilliant. Impossible to prevent. That no matter what may come your way, you're going to plow through it. So how do we do that? Number one, if you're taking notes today, how do we become unstoppable? We must go all in. See, Jesus said that you can be either hot or cold, but the lukewarm people, what does he do? Spits them out of his mouth. He cannot handle the lukewarm people. I was in Fiji, and there's some good, amazing things that are happening in Fiji. In fact, the fulfillment of the prophetic word from Pastor Joe Tabuya, I believe, is going to happen in the next year and a half, and God is opening up new doors throughout Fiji. Exciting. But as I was there, I noticed that the Fijian flags were everywhere, like hundreds of them on every building. I'm like, dude, what is going on? I've been to Fiji before. It's never been like this. I began to ask around. They said, oh, Fiji is in the World Cup for rugby. They're one of the top finalists, and the whole nation is supporting them. And everywhere I went, the televisions were full of rugby. And people were screaming and shouting. And Minister Mehealani, who traveled with me to Fiji, she's tried to give me all the education on rugby. She's like, it's like football, but then you can't do this and you can't do that. And it was phenomenal. The people's reaction. And as I began to watch the people, I felt like the Lord said, hey, look at them. You've got the couch fans who sit there and tell the players what to do and what not to do and scream and yell. I see that a lot in America. They're on the side and they're screaming, hey, you should have gone there. You should have, what's wrong with you? Go faster. Yeah, come on. How many of you are like that sometimes? Except that happens in the Christian world as well, where we've got a lot of Christians who sit, oh, go for it, Pastor. I'm just going to watch you online. I don't need to be there. I love Jesus. I can worship the Lord in the forest or by the ocean. I don't need to go to church. Oh, hallelujah. But what's wrong with those pastors? And what's wrong with those people? And all these people say they're Christians. I don't even know Christians like that. They can tell you what you're doing wrong, but they're not with you. They're not advancing the kingdom. Now, there's some people that are stuck at home that are sick. They don't have an excuse either. There was one woman when I was pastoring in Maui. She had cancer all over her body. She was in the hospital. For years, she'd be in and out of the hospital, hardly able to even talk. But you know what she did? She would pray for our pastors every day, hours and hours. And then she would write encouragement notes. I have hundreds of them. Or she says, you can do this. And she'd get a prophetic word and preach it and just write it all out and encourage the believers. She was going all in. Whether she was stuck at home or in the hospital, she was bombarding the kingdom of heaven. You say, well, Pastor, I can't do that. God has called you to be unstoppable. He's not called you to be a couch potato. Now, there are those fans who I noticed the stadium was full of fans. They had counted the cost. They paid for their airline ticket to get there and their hotel and all of it. They were there and they were encouraging their team. We have a lot of Christians that are doing that. They show up on Sunday morning. Go, Pastor, go. Preach, Pastor, preach. Woohoo! I'm a part of a great church. But then they do nothing for the Lord. The calling, the giftings, the talents, I'll do it next year. They don't really need me. It's not that important. If we're going to be unstoppable, we've got to go all in. We've got to go what? All in. We can't go halfway. We can't be tepid Christians. We got to go full force for the Lord. You see, one of the things right now that you have to think about, you are in an amazing facility. This is probably one of the nicest facilities of all of Kings. This is gorgeous. And our natural tendency, once we've done a huge, big push, like, oh, we're in it, yeah. Now we can relax. Now we can get comfortable. Oh, you know, people are just going to come in. I don't need to evangelize anymore. I don't need to give anymore. Oh, it's all good. And the enemy will stop us because of our comfort. But God has called you, Alaska, not just to get comfortable in this beautiful building. It's wonderful. But this is just the first of many that God is going to open up, that God is going to increase throughout Alaska, throughout the United States of America, throughout the world. He's waiting for you, Alaska. He's waiting for you, Alaska, to rise up and to go all in. There's one man, his name is Moses Cow. He's one of our pastors. He's from Vietnam. And him and his dad got saved. In fact, they were the first Assemblies of God churches in Vietnam. And then the Vietnam War happened, and they were kicked out of the country, huge persecution. God supernaturally protected them as they floated away. It was a miracle. You'll have to hear the story. But even then, he could have gotten comfortable in California. Got business, have money. Oh, we're good. I don't need to go back to Vietnam. Those people were crazy. Forget all of those people. No. The first thing he did, as soon as the borders were open, he came back to Vietnam and began to spread the gospel, began from town to town to town. In fact, they would lock him up and put him in prison. Now, our prisons are comfortable. We got a toilet. We got a bed. You can brush your teeth. But the prisons in Vietnam are pretty much holes in the ground. When I was there in Vietnam, Pastor Cao said, you know, I don't encourage anybody to be a pastor unless they've at least been in prison once for their faith. If they haven't been to prison yet, I'm like, let's give it time. Go spread the gospel a little bit more. Let's see. Let's see if you really love Jesus. Wow. You know, Pastor Cao was preaching down in Saigon, and they locked him up in the prison. And they wouldn't let him out for a long, long time. And finally, they were going to kill him. And he stood up before the firing squad. And in the culture of the Vietnamese, if you name the person that kills you, they're going to die next. So what they do is they put a blindfold around the person's eyes that is about ready to get killed. And so they had him blindfolded, and he was standing there, and he's like, well, God, I guess I'm going to go to heaven. This has been fun. I tried, Lord. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit started giving him names. And so he began to declare them out loud. One by one, the gunners dropped their guns. Fine. And then they ran away. Because they're freaking out. How did this guy see us? And the commander came, untied him, and says, you better run now. You can go. But it's in that very town that this year he got to go back. And he was telling Pastor Steve, he says, I'm afraid. I'm afraid the same thing's going to happen again. But no matter what, I'm going to go. I'm all in. My people are going to hear the voice of the Lord. Is that our cry? No matter what, no matter prison, no matter death, no matter rejection, are we going all in? If we're going to be unstoppable, we got a number one what? Go all in. Number two, we find in this passage of scripture something very interesting in verse 51. They're expelled from this town, the Jews and the Gentiles and the Jews kick them out, and not just out of their town, but out of their entire region. So not just out of Wasilla, but out of all Alaska, you're no longer allowed to come to preach the gospel. And something very interesting happened. They took their shoes off, and they dusted it off. They shook it off. They shook the dust off of their feet. And I thought, what does that mean? Well, we see throughout scripture that shaking of the dust means that you're releasing something. The judgment you have against them, the testimony, they didn't take the testimony, so you're like, I'm done with you. That's pretty much what they were saying. I did my part. I'm shaking off the dust. And I asked the Lord, Lord, what does that mean? Have fun with the shoe. What does that mean for us to shake off the dust? And I felt like the Lord said the dust represents our flesh, our junk, our hurts, all the things of this world. And can I tell you, if you haven't read Dr. Morocco's book, Defiled, you need to read it. Because the junk of this world gets on us very quickly. Somebody else's offense, some junk, you scroll through the internet and pornography jumps out at you. It happens. You're watching TV and junk thrown on you. We get defiled so easily and we think, oh, we're good. And the Lord says, no, you've got to shake it off. You got to break off that hurt. Some of you have come through horrible things in your past. Some of you, I wish I could kill those people that hurt you. Like they deserve it. But God doesn't want that to separate you from him any longer. You've got to forgive them and shake it off. The people that have hurt you, your family who's rejected you, you've got to what? You got to let it go. You got to let God's judgment be upon them. You got to let God deal with them. And your job is to shake it off. Because if we're going to be unstoppable and we hold on to all of these things, it will little by little kill us. It'll stop us from ministering. It'll stop us from reaching out. That's why we've got to what? Shake it off. I was in the Philippines. It was my first trip as KC Worldwide Director. And we were doing this huge outreach. It was awesome. We had gone door to door in this whole barrio. And we were about ready to do a huge service. And I was greeting people. And I had just bought a beautiful Filipino dress. I was cute. That's all I gotta say. It was a long time ago, so I was really cute then. And I was so proud of my Filipino dress. I was like, yeah, I'm with you. And I was talking with people. And all of a sudden, I felt something on the back of my dress. And I looked around, and there was this dog behind me. And he was peeing all over me. Now, I'm not talking a little sprinkle. I'm talking about the entire back of my dress completely drenched. And it wasn't a dress that it could hide. No, it was this dark blue now. Everybody could see it. I was so ashamed. I was like, oh my goodness, I got dog pee. What do I do? What do I do? How do I get this thing off? Do I go home and change? I gotta preach. How am I gonna do this? I had to shake it off and go preach the gospel. You see, you've had some family members that have peed on you. Hopefully not literally, okay? They've peed on you. You've had churches that have peed on you. Shake it off. Shake it off. Don't let it stop you anymore. Preach the gospel. The second year, I go back, and I'm in a different town, different place. We're all sitting at a table, and we're eating dinner before service, and I'm preaching that night. All of a sudden, I felt something on my foot. I'm like, uh-oh. What is this? I look under the table and there's a cat. But he's peeing on me. I had to literally shake it off. It was horrible. All the Filipinos said, see, Pastor, now you're really Filipino. You have been marked as a territory, both with the dogs and the cats. You now need to go to the Philippines. You have to shake these things off. You can't let it stop you. You can't let it hinder what God has called you to do. If we're going to be unstoppable, we got a number one what? Go all in. What do we got to do? Go all in. Number two, we've got to shake it off. But thirdly, we see in this passage of scripture, the Apostle Paul and Barnabas, they're there in Iconium. And we see in verse 6 that they did something very interesting. They fled. Now, I don't know about you. Maybe it's the Italian in me. I got a little bit of that mafioso. And anybody who comes against me, I want to beat their head in. In fact, in Hawaii, there's some women who beat their husbands and beat everybody else, and they call them Tittas. And in my first church, they used to call me Pastor Titta. Don't get on her bad side. She'll get you. I just praise the Lord that I'm saved and I love Jesus, because otherwise it would be a little scary, can I just say? I know what's inside of me. And when I read this passage, I said, Lord, that's not right. They should have fought for the gospel. Why did they run away? And I felt like the Lord says, look at this, Janelle. There are some things that you need to flee from. We see in Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul was let down out of a basket from a big height because people were out to get him. We see in 2 Timothy 2:22, he says, flee evil and pursue righteousness. In Proverbs 4, it says, do not enter the path of the wicked, nor do in the way of evil, but avoid it. Run away from it. You see, there's some things that we've got to run away. And I think it is evil. You see, as Christians, especially if we've been a Christian a long time, we think we can handle it. Oh, I know Jesus. I got the power. I can go hang out with my old friends. I can go hang out at the bar. I got this. I can handle it. Oh, a little bit of pornography. Oh, rated R movie. It's not that bad. I got this. Oh, you know, I'm going to go hang out with my ex-druggies. It's okay. I'm strong enough. I'm big enough. I've done this a long time. I got this. No, you don't. Run away. Run away. You can't stand in your own strength and in your own ability. If you're going to become unstoppable, we've got to run away from evil. Even the appearance of evil, we've got to run away. We see a young boy in the book of Genesis. He gets sold into slavery by his family. He goes to Potiphar's house and he gets elevated. And then Potiphar's wife hits on him and he runs away. Now, in my mind, whenever I think of Potiphar's wife, I think she's probably this old hag, you know, like nasty, teeth falling out, you know, like one of those like, no wonder he ran away. But then when you study history, you realize that Potiphar was the man. And he could get every single chick that was hot. And if she's his wife, that means she was the hottest chick around. Now that changes your perspective for a moment, doesn't it? That the hottest chick in all of Egypt was pursuing Joseph. And he had to run away and run away and run away. You see, sometimes there's some things, well, maybe say most of the time there's these things on the internet that can tempt you and grab you. And you think, oh, it's fine. I'm strong enough. I'll turn it off. But the enemy knows it may not be the first time or the second time or the third time, but he'll get you. He wears at us until he grabs us. That's why we have to run away. That's why we got to expose evil. We got to repent, and we got to repent to our friends. We got to have them pray for us, because we're all subject to fall. All of us. If you think you're not, then you're probably already there. You're at the verge of falling if you think that you're impenetrable. No, we've got to flee from evil. When I was getting my master's degree in counseling, I met a girl. She was a beautiful girl. She was from a missionary's family, loved Jesus. She was one of those people that you just see her and you know she loves Jesus. Like, she just glowed and she's just always happy and amazing. And you're like, shut up, what's wrong with you? But she loved Jesus so much. She was so excited. She was going to be a missionary. She was getting her master's degree in theology, all right? Like, she was awesome. She started working with me at a restaurant, and all the coworkers were Christians. You know, the ones that do whatever evil they want to throughout the week, stay up all night drinking, smoking, and doing partying stuff, and then roll into church on Sunday morning and think, I'm good. I'm a Christian. Yeah, that happens in Springfield, Missouri, maybe not here, right? Anyway, they said, hey, let's go. We want to take you guys out. We're going to go to the bar after work. Come hang out with us. We want to get to know you. I said, I'm not going to a bar. I'm not doing it. I'm not even the appearance of evil. If anybody sees me there, I'm not going to do it. Sorry, guys. We can go to a restaurant. We can go to a coffee store. That's fine, but I'm not even going walking into a bar. And she said, well, you know, in my theology classes, they said Jesus ate and drank with sinners, so I think it'll be okay. I'll just go hang out and drink a Coke. But you ain't Jesus. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, you ain't Jesus. Jesus is God, okay? He's God. He has the ability to say no. That sin has no part of him, not even an issue. But for us, we're human. We can fall very quickly. Oh, for my poor friend, she went from a Coke to just one beer, and then it became hard liquor. And then she skipped out on school. Her life was completely destroyed, sleeping around, drugs. Horrible, horrible. This woman who could have changed the world, thousands of people saved, was destroyed because she was strong enough. She thought she was strong enough. Now, if a woman like that, raised in a great home, loved Jesus with all her heart, could fall away that quickly, we got to watch out. You see, we've got to run away. Not even the appearance of evil, just run away. Just get out of there. If it's pornography, if it's relationships, run away. If it's hurt and pain, run away. How are we going to become unstoppable? Number one, go all in. Number two, shake it off. Number three, run away. And number four, if we're going to become unstoppable, we must persevere. We got to keep going. We got to keep preaching. We never stop. You know, that's one thing I love about my father, Dr. Morocco. He's 74 years old, and he's starting from scratch again in Dallas, Texas. Ha ha! That's horrible. And he's not just starting from scratch. He's still the global senior pastor and has all of the responsibility and the financial pressure. And now he's going to start from scratch, a brand new church. That's hard. But it doesn't matter, because he's going to keep going. I love that part with the fish Dory. And she just says, just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. She's a complete ditz, but she just keeps going. It doesn't matter what she faces. It doesn't matter. She doesn't even know what she's going. Just keep swimming. When the enemy comes against you and all of the confusion, the lies, the anger, the fear keep plaguing your mind, you just got to be a Dory and just be like, I'm just going to keep serving Jesus. I'm going to keep serving. I'm going to keep loving. I'm going to keep witnessing. You see, we can be stopped if we stop. Oh, revelation. I know, right? But if we keep going, if we keep persevering, if we keep loving the unlovable, if we keep forgiving people, if we keep witnessing, if we keep praying, we will become unstoppable. One of the saddest parts in Acts, we see in Acts 13, actually verse 13, of a young man, his name was John Mark. He was the nephew of Barnabas, and he came with them on their first missionary journey. But here in this passage of scripture, we don't see him anymore. Why? On the first place of persecution, guess what he did? He ran away home to mama. He stopped. It wasn't sin that he was facing, okay? Persecution stopped him, but he missed out. He missed out on the great multitude of people that were saved. He missed out on revival after revival after revival. He missed out on the man getting healed. So many times we miss our moment because we stop. We miss the healing because I prayed for them 10 times already. They're not going to get healed anyway. It could have just been the 12th time that God miraculously heals them. You see, we stop too quickly. God has called us to persevere. We've got to keep preaching. We've got to keep praying. The Matthias girls, which is the girls from our pastor in Canada, they were down in Florida for a school, and I was in Florida, and so I took them for coffee, and we were talking, asking them about school, asking them about ministry, and they were so excited. I said, so what class are you taking? They says, oh, we're taking our evangelism course. I'm like, cool. So what'd you learn? You know, how are you witnessing? How are you bringing people to Jesus? And they start telling me all of these stories. And they say, you know, we have to, in this matter of 6 weeks' time, get 150 people saved or we fail the class. And I'm like, wait. 150 each? Yeah. 150 souls each. I said, wait a second here. Are you talking about just witnessing to 150 people? No, these are people who say yes to Jesus, give us their name and their phone number for follow-up. And I thought, oh my goodness, what are we doing? Even as Christians, how many of us have witnessed? Oh, and they didn't ask Jesus. Oh, they rejected me. Okay, I'm not going to do that again. Or God is calling us to keep preaching, to keep witnessing, to keep testifying, because it may be that one moment that everything breaks through. I was ministering in New Zealand at our church there, and there was this young lady, older lady, I'm sorry, her name was May. And she had, she's from Indonesia. And at the age of 13, she had gotten saved. And so she went home to her father and mother and began to tell them about Jesus. But they were strict Taoists. So they said, no, we don't believe that. No. But for 40 years, she testified. 40 years, she kept preaching. She kept telling them about Jesus. She kept praying for her family. Now, 40 years later, her dad was in ICU. She went to go visit him, but then she got really sick, and she was in the hospital herself. So she asked her friend, she said, please go visit my dad. If he dies, can you witness to him? I just don't want him to go to hell. Please witness to him again. So her friend goes, talks to her dad and comes back. And she goes, oh, your dad asked Jesus into his heart. And my friend May, she goes, no, he didn't. There's no way he got saved. No, he got saved. No, I don't believe it. But he got saved. It wasn't until they were out of the hospital. Guess what? The first phone call she got on Sunday morning was her dad. Hey, you picking me up for church? How come you're not here yet? What's wrong with you? We got to go to church. What if she had stopped 30 years earlier? Her father would be in hell. You see, God is calling each and every one of us. Keep preaching. Keep praying. Keep moving forward. Persevere. Don't let anything stop you. I was traveling, I don't know where, but I had gotten bumped up to first class, and I was so excited. How many of you have ever been bumped up to first class? Praising Jesus, yeah? I was like, woohoo, the Lord loves me, I'm going. And so I'm strutting down, you know, first class, and I go to my seat, and this woman is on the aisle, and she's spread out everywhere. I'm like, oh, excuse me, I'm over there. And immediately I could tell she was completely drunk. Like, she was done. She was sprawled, and I tried to put my bags up, and I guess I bumped her, but she started spewing swear words at me like crazy. And I got offended, because there's things that she told about me that nobody has ever said. I'm like, don't you know who I am? I'm a pastor. No, she couldn't hear anything. She was gone. So I went down, I sat in my seat, and I said in my head, fine. I was going to tell you about Jesus, but since you sweared at me like that, you can just go to hell. Now, don't look at me like that. You know you think that way sometimes, too. I'm a pastor. I'm human, too. And as I began to sit there, and she was swearing at everybody and anything that walked near her, and down some more alcohol and more pills, and I was like, Lord, help her. And he said, Janelle, I've brought you here. Janelle, you need to minister to her. I'm like, Lord, she don't deserve it. Did you hear what she said about me? Janelle, I said, fine, Lord. If she wakes up from her stupor, I will tell her about you. Well, right before we landed, she came to her senses. And the Lord told me to repent. So I apologize. I'm sorry I hurt you. I don't know how I hurt you. And all of a sudden, all the walls that she had fell. And she began to tell me that she was going through her second time of cancer. And her husband couldn't come, and she was all alone. And she had no one to depend upon, and she was afraid that she was going to die this time. And she didn't want to fight anymore. I began to pray for her and speak life over her. And everything began to change. When we landed that airplane, she jumped up out of her seat and began to help everybody with the bags. She had a gigantic smile on her face. From the woman who was dead drunk, yelling and swearing at everybody, to someone now is helping everybody. God touched her. You see, I could have gotten offended and said, no, I'm not going to do anything. Forget you. But we got to keep praying. We've got to keep preaching. We've got to persevere. We got to keep serving. Can I get an amen? It's our time to become unstoppable. Alaska, it's your time to rise up and take over the world. Become unstoppable.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you.